Good morning. How are you this morning? Last week I was talking to a new member of the church. I can see Julius there. He's like, so who is the senior pastor of this church, you know? Who are the pastors? I'm the senior pastor. Muzungu Zedi Zakari is my name. Kenneth Jepsnek is the worship pastor. We have Paul Masembe, Luganda service, and Pastor John Eastam, you know, who is our admin pastor. So that's us, four pastors of this church. We're in Daniel chapter 6. As we continue our study of the book of Daniel, full of the future, full of faith, and some fire as well. And we're going to see one of those fires as Daniel ends up in the lion's den. Let's pray together as we begin. Lord, thank you so much for your word, how it brings freshness to our lives, oh God, freshness to our bones, how it nourishes our soul, and how it straightens us, oh God, in your paths of righteousness. Thank you so much for giving us your spirit here to guide and teach us, oh God, to lead us into all truth. Thank you so much for just a fellowship of brothers and sisters. You're able to gather us here, Lord. We just look back at your death and you said that when you lifted up, you'd gather all men to yourself. And you've gathered us to yourself. And we gather together to worship you and to sit under you and to listen to your word, O God. Help us to understand and to practice what we're going to learn. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So the last time before we broke off into Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday, we were in Daniel chapter 6, the first 9 verses. We looked at how he was faithful and a man of integrity, how his conspirators were looking for any corruption, any scandal, any fraud in his life, and there was none. And all they can come up with a law, a fault against his faith. All they can find him guilty of is being a follower of God, a believer, which is a good offense, by the way. Would there be evidence against you that you are a believer in God? If you are paraded before a judge, you are arrested and taken for prosecution, would there be evidence that you're a Christian? If they examine your life, they bring witnesses, would they testify that we know for sure this man or woman believes in God? And now he's trapped. Let's pick up from verse 10 of Daniel chapter 6. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. And in his upper room, with his arms wide open, his windows open, turned toward Jerusalem, knelt down on his knees 3 times that day, and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. And they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree. Have you not signed a decree that every man, a woman who petitions any god or man within 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into den of lions? The king answered and said, yeah, the king is true, in according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter. So they answered and said before the king, that Daniel, who is one of the captives from Judah, does not show due regard for you, O king, or for the decree that you have signed, but makes his petition 3 times a day. And the king, when he had heard these words, was greatly displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. And the men approached him and said to the king, know, king, that this is the law of the Medes and Persians, that no decree or statute which the king established may be changed. So these conspirators trapped and tricked the king into signing a decree that he needs to be the only one to be worshipped. Now they knew the people who worshipped the one true God who would not worship the king. Daniel was one of them. I remember when the other friends of Daniel, the other 3 men, were thrown into the fiery furnace. We didn't see Daniel in the scene. Maybe he had been sent off away from the kingdom for other duties. And here is Daniel alone. We also don't see the other 3 men. Maybe they were out there somewhere. And the conspirators were primarily interested in trapping Daniel. Now, the king obviously has his fault in this. He knew he wasn't God, but you know that was appeasing to him. Let's make a law that you're the only God. Yeah, why not? I can sign that law in seconds. Why not? And he does that. Little did he know that it was meant to trap his most faithful, most transparent, most honest employee, Daniel. And Daniel is aware that this has happened. And as was his custom, he prays. It was not reactional. Daniel did not wake up to find himself in such a trap and then he thinks, oh, now it's time to pray. Quite often we pray reacting to the circumstances around us. Oh, now we need to pray. Things are getting so hard. The economy is bad. You know, whatever it's happening, now we need to pray. Prayer is not just responding to the circumstances around us. Prayer should be a lifestyle. It's a communication with God, talking and listening to Him. And as for Daniel, as any other Jewish man would do, or woman, 3 times a day was scheduled prayer. 9 o'clock, midday, and 3 o'clock. Some say 9, midday, and 6. But 3 times a day, whatever the time was, he went to his room, went upstairs in his upper room, knelt down, window open towards Jerusalem. That was where his heart was. That was home. In private, he knew who he was talking to. He was talking to God. He prayed looking towards Jerusalem. He really wanted to go back home. How many of us are homesick? This is not your home. You pray towards what? Mbarara or Arua? Towards Kenya? Jerusalem was his home. He's longing to go back home. He's in captivity. He knelt down, symbolic of surrender and humility, saying, God, I am nothing. You are everything. And these lions are against me. Lord, please help. In his prayer was also thanks. It wasn't just, God, shut the mouths of those lions. God, protect me. God, please help. God, thank you. He knew that God was going to help, whether he was going to be eaten by lions or was going to be saved. Remember the other men who said to the king, we will not bow down to that idol. God will save us. But even if our God does not save us, even if he allows us to be burnt in the furnace, we will still not bow down. Thank you. Daniel demonstrates the same principle in prayer. It's full of thanks. Lord, thank you. Thank you for those lions. You made them. Maybe they're hungry. I'm going to be their lunch or dinner. It's not very pleasant, but you know what you're doing, Lord. I don't know what is happening here. There's nothing wrong I've done. All I've been is faithful to you. Now, quite often we think when we are faithful to God, everything is going to be fine. Don't we assume that and presume that? All I have to do is be faithful to God. I have to go to church every Sunday. I have to listen to the Word of God. I have to be at my ministry point or my service point. I have to be at my job. And I have to do all these things in faithfulness to God. And then everything's going to be fine. Is that true? We have an enemy against us who is actually offended with our faithfulness. God is obviously pleased with our faithfulness. Our enemies are not. This is persecution, suffering pain or torture or torment or even death just because you believe in the one true God. It's possible that Daniel prayed what the psalmist had written in Psalm 22:21, save me from the lion's mouth and from the horns of the wild oxen. You have answered me. Amen. Now, Daniel did not intend to disrespect the king. All he was doing was respecting the King of Kings, the one king that deserves to be honored, God himself. And one Christian wrote that Daniel was confronted with a test of loyalties. Who are you going to be loyal to? To the man before you, your boss, or your one true boss, God? He wanted to render unto Caesar things that rightfully belonged to Caesar, but he would not give to the government that which belonged to God alone. He respected the king. Long live, O king, I respect you, I bow before you, I serve you. But if I have to choose between you and God, obviously I will not bow down before you. You're not God. You're a man like me. I will petition the one true God. And when Darius finally discovers that this was a trap to get Daniel killed, he labored all day to get Daniel free. But what happens? His conspirators come and say, "That king, don't you remember we are the Medes and Persians? And we make a law and does not change?" Oh yeah. He was displeased with himself. Have you ever been tricked into a decision you're thinking, "Oh man, how could I be in such a trap?" You kind of want to beat yourself up. This is my faithful employee. This is my most transparent employee. I can trust Daniel with literally anything. We'll do it. He'll take care of it. Now he has to die. How could I do that? How could I not even think that these are just conspirators against the faithfulness of Daniel? He tried to save Daniel, but in vain. He could not sleep. No musicians were brought before him. He fasted, didn't even have dinner that night. He tells Daniel, "You know what, Daniel? I have done my best to protect you. I have failed. I cannot change the law. I signed it already. But your God will protect you. I've had stories of your God saving his faithful children. I'm sure he will protect you." I can imagine this interface between the king and Daniel. I don't even know how they looked at each other. Nebuchadnezzar had a fiery furnace, looks like, when the Medes and Persians took over, they got rid of the fiery furnace. They had their own system of punishment and torture. Lions. I'm sure they are starved. They knew Daniel was going to be trapped into this, so maybe they starved the lions for a few days. We don't even know how many there were. Could have been 10. But Daniel again demonstrates his faith through prayer. And when we talk to God, whether we have a request before him, whether we're just appreciating him, whether we're just listening to him, it's a demonstration of faith. "God, I need help. Lord, thank you, you will help." In Luke chapter 18, verse 1, Jesus teaches a parable to his disciples, and it's a parable of prayer. And it starts with a summary of the parable that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Let me ask a question. You have lions before you tomorrow. I mean, by today, like, you have diarrhea, right? Like, the mere thought that you're going to end up in the lion's den just causes your stomach not to function well. And it's very easy to lose heart. How do you even pray against lions? Should we cancel those lions in Jesus' name or what? And the one trauma that you have is you've done nothing wrong. It's probably easier when you know you're guilty of a crime that is deserving of death. Like, you know what, I killed somebody. I've been sentenced to death. I did it. But you've done nothing wrong whatsoever apart from being faithful to God. That's traumatizing. That's tormenting. That's disturbing. You would sink, we would sink into depression like the next minute. And we can easily lose heart and forget to pray. But when prayer is a lifestyle, we don't only pray when we're in trouble. We pray every day. We talk to and listen to God every day. I don't think it's going to be difficult to pray when you know you're going to die the next day. It's just going to flow out of you because that's what you've been doing for 20 years, maybe for 10 years, for 2 months, for 1 week. You're going to remember that in prayer you're actually talking to the one who made the lion so he can take care of those lions. You're talking to the one who created fire so he can quench that fire. You're talking to the person who made you so he can heal that disease. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, The Bible instructs praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, in the will of God, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. I'm sure Daniel's friends were also praying for him. When they had Daniel was in trouble, they must have gathered and also prayed for Daniel. And we see that through scriptures. In Acts, we see men praying for those who are in prison, those who are being persecuted, and God freed them sometimes, miraculously. So we have to pray all kinds of prayer, all kinds of supplication in God's will. We have to be aware that in prayer, we persevere. It's very easy for us to just talk to God today and be silent for the next 5 days. How about talking to Him every day? Now, sometimes we think we're bothering God, right? Like, you know, I talked to God about that yesterday. Let me just be silent today. I don't want to bother Him today. He can never be bothered. Our prayers are pleasant. He can't wait to hear them. He can't wait to have a conversation with us. Perseverance, supplication for all the saints. And when Jesus was giving that parable, it was of this widow who was seeking justice before an unrighteous judge. And she kept knocking on his door until the judge said, you know what, I'll pay attention to this lady. She has persisted. Let me open my doors and give her the justice that she's seeking for. And Jesus said, how about petitioning a righteous judge? If you can persist knocking on the door of a judge who may not even give you justice, how about knocking the door of heaven? And for sure, you know, God is going to listen and act. How much more should we be prayerful? And we can schedule prayers. We can decide, all right, I'm going to pray every 5 minutes into 10 minutes every 2 hours a day. I'm told of a Christian who actually he tithed his hours, all right? So how many hours do we have in a day? 24 hours. So 2 hours, 40 minutes he spent in prayer every day. Prayer tithe. How do you like that? God, you gave me 24 hours. I'm going to give you 10% in communication with you. I'm just going to talk to you for a total of 2 hours and 40 minutes. Great habit. In Hebrews chapter 11, verses 32 to 34, and what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel, and the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions. A reference to Daniel here. Quenched the violence of the fire. Daniel's friends escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Through believing that God will help, just that. God, you will help. That's faith. And I'm going to talk to you about this. And we have a record of men and women who did exactly the same. And the writer of Hebrews says here that, you know what? I don't even have time to tell you about everything that I would about this very idea of faith. Think about Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and Sam and Daniel and all the others who went through so much difficulty but were victorious simply because they believed. And their belief, their faith in God was demonstrated through prayer. For how often we need to pray. All kinds of prayers. Praying for ourselves and praying for others. The prayers of the righteous, the Bible teaches, avails much. When you're praying, you know that you are in a harvest. Your prayers are going to yield a great harvest. God is going to pay attention to them. And He will answer them. And through prayer, Daniel is stronger. Through prayer, Daniel is courageous. Through prayer, Daniel is full of hope. Come the lions, I'll be fine. Let the lions come. Let me be thrown in. Let the fires come. He's not going to fight. You think Daniel is going to struggle to run off as he's being arrested and being thrown into the den of lions? We resist arrest even when we know we've done nothing wrong, right? But if a police officer came in here and said, come over here, what will you do? Ah, I've done nothing wrong. Why are you taking pastor? Please come and help. You want me? There I am. You take me. Courage. He's not afraid of the lions. He's not afraid of difficulties. And we get that through prayer. When we pray, Christians, we become stronger, more courageous, and we are filled with hope. We know that for sure God will help. What happens? Verse 16. The king gave the command. They brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. The king spoke to Daniel saying, your God whom you serve continually, he will save you. Then a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his signet ring and with the signet rings of the lords, that the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed. And the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. No musicians were brought before him. His sleep went from him. The king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. And when he had come to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying, Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? And Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong thing before you. Now the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel out of the den. So Daniel was taken out of the den. No injury whatever was found in him, because he believed in his God. Right there is the key. He was a man of faith. He believed God was going to help. Daniel is saved from the lions. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, we are told about the ministry of angels. What do angels do? They are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation. That's you and I. And God sends his angels to watch over us. And sometimes we wish, God, just help me for a minute see these angels, right? Like, I just want to be thrilled if I see them. God sent his angels, and the lions were harmless. Now, there are those who don't believe this. They say, you know what? Daniel was an old man. He's probably 80 or over right now. So they say, you know what? The lions had no interest in Daniel. He's old. Well, we know that when the other men, when his conspirators were thrown in the same den, what happened? They were torn apart. God preserved him. I found out some ways on how to survive lion attacks. So I went on the internet, I typed in, how do you survive or how do you fight lions? The first thing is, do not panic. If you're being attacked by a lion, you'll be extremely frightened. Staying calm and thinking straight can help save your life. You're like, yeah, right. Who can think straight before a lion, right? Second, do not run. Stand your ground. You need to take charge of this situation and show the lion that you are not a coward. You are a threat to it also. Turn so that you're side by side with the lion while clapping your hands and shouting and waving your hands. At the same time, avoiding direct eye contact. This will make you appear bigger and threatening to the lion. Like, all right. Who can even think about that at that moment, right? 3, retreat slowly. Do not turn your back, because the lion will think you're fleeing, so he'll come after you. Retreat slowly, backwards. Keep waving your hands and shouting. Keep threatening the lion. Avoid retreating to a thicket, because it may trap you there. Instead, retreat to an open area. Really? Be prepared again. The lion may charge you against you while you try to retreat. If this happens, just repeat the procedure. Keep shouting and waving your hands and retreating. This time when he turns away, stop the aggression, turn sideways and walk away. This can avoid a fight. And then somebody asks, what if there are more than one lion? What if there are multiple? If these precautions don't work for any reason, the lion may charge against you. You still remain standing, waving, shouting. There's no way you can survive a lion attack unless you have a weapon. All right? And for people who actually live around lions in the Maasai land, the national parks, actually the lions know them. They don't even attack them because they are familiar with them. Most of the time it attacks strangers. Now for the Maasai and those people who live around the national parks, for self-defense, they always have to walk around with a stick, but it's actually a knife, all right? So it's a stick that goes into the other half, so it's a concealed walking knife, really. And if a lion attacks, they know how to attack it. Once it jumps on you, you kind of just pull off the knife, the cover, and then you just stick the spear or the long knife into its stomach, and they're gone, you know, so unless you're prepared like that, you won't be able to survive. If you're thrown in like Daniel, no chance of survival whatsoever unless God preserves you. In Psalm 7, verses 14 to 16, behold, the wicked brings forth iniquity. Yes, he conceives trouble and brings forth falsehood. He made a pit and dug it out and has fallen into the ditch which he made. His trouble shall return upon his own head, and his violent dealing shall come down on his own crown. God will cause our enemies to actually suffer the fate, the very fate that they wished us. Quite unfortunate, really. I mean, you would feel for your enemy, you know, being thrown into the den of lions, but you see, they wish that for you. God preserved you. And that's the portion of the wicked. Those who come up with falsehood against God's people with intention to kill them. Now, sometimes you will be eaten by, I mean, Daniel could have perished, but his enemies still at one point would have suffered justice unless they didn't repent. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 to 11, Paul wrote, "We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our bodies." When we are faced with a death situation, Paul, the Bible has word for us that, you know what? That's what we are faced with every day. We may not even know it. Every day you wake up, you are a candidate of attack or even torture for your faith. And tell you what, I wish God would show us all the angels protecting us. But that's what we face daily. That's what Paul faced daily. He could have died any day. And they said, you know what? We are hard-pressed, but God saves us. We are not crushed. We are in despair, but God fills us with hope. We are persecuted, tortured for our faith, but God does not leave us alone. He's not forsaking us for even a minute. We are beaten, struck down, but we are not destroyed. Always carrying around this body that can die anytime. So I tell you what, if you're out there afraid of death, truth is, you can die anytime. Either by a lion, or a fire, or a bullet, or what? A disease, anything. But even that cannot destroy you. And he says, always walking around like dead men. Do you realize that? That you're always walking around like you can die anytime, you're ready for it because you're a Christian? And if you're here, not a believer in Jesus, you should be afraid of death. Allow Jesus into your life and he'll give you victory over death. Now, you know that is a funny proverb in in Proverbs that, you know what, the lazy people are the ones who say, you know what, they're lying on the way, we're not going to work. It's dangerous out there. The Christians are saying, you know what, the lions are there, but we need to go work. We need to go minister. We need to go serve. Right? The dangers are there, but I mean, you can die in your own house, right? Like, oh, I'm afraid of going there because it's dangerous. You could die right in the safety of your own house. And Paul says, you know what? We who live are always dying for the sake of Jesus, so that his life would be revealed in us. We saw that last week, his resurrected nature. That we walk around, that we could die anytime, but know what? That then ushers in a glorified form, just like Jesus was. And we are more than alive. We close with Psalm 3, verses 1 to 8, a great psalm that we need to visit each time we are overwhelmed with this fact that we have enemies all around us, our chief enemies always around, trying to get us destroyed or killed or dismantled. His name is Satan. But in Psalm 3, the psalmist wrote this. Actually, his son was pursuing him. Absalom was pursuing David to kill him. He wanted to inherit the throne. Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say to me, there is no help for him in God. That's what they told Daniel. That's what they'll tell us. That's what Satan tells us all the time, right? There's no help for you. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. I cried out to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill. Selah, think about that. I lay down and I slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. I'll not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you have struck all my enemies on the cheekbone. You have broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing is upon your people, Selah. Amen. That's what God does to us. Many are they who rise up against us. But God is our shield. He'll save us from those lions. Many are they who say that we don't have an helping God. I'm sure there were some who are telling Daniel, are you the one who believed in God? You sure those lions will spare you? Sure, Daniel walked silent. And when he was coming out, the very same people must have been thinking, you know what? We were all wrong. His God saved him. His is the only true God. And the king is going to decree that they should worship the God of Daniel. He said, I lay down a slave. You know that when we are troubled, we cannot sleep. But the psalmist writes, you know what? My enemies are pursuing me. My own son, my own generals have forsaken me. My own ministers, my own are looking for me. And he says, I lay down and slept. That is the peace of God, isn't it? In the midst of troubles, we can go to bed and sleep like a baby. I lay down, I slept, I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid. See, courage. Faith always produces courage. I won't be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me. Now, in this very war and battle here, David only has a few men with him, only a few weapons. Absalom has almost amassed the support of the entire kingdom against David. But he's the very one who says, you know what, I'm not afraid of them. I know the majority. When God is fighting, I don't even need anyone beside me. Because he can quench any attack. An attack by 10,000s of people, nothing to him. And he says, arise, like God, please act. Save me, help me, oh my God. You have shattered my enemies. You have broken their teeth. Salvation belongs to you. And he says, your blessing is upon your people. His blessing is upon us. Amen. Let's stand and pray. I hope that you've been challenged and we've been challenged to make prayer our lifestyle. Daily, momentary, even scheduling times for prayer. That's where strength and courage and hope comes from. And I also hope that you've been strengthened by the fact that God watches over us. We don't have to be afraid of anything. God is watching over each one of us. He is our shield. Lord, thank you so much for opening heaven so that we can talk to you anytime, that you can listen to us anytime, and Lord, that you can speak to us anytime. Lord, may we make it a point to talk to you, to listen to you, to interact with you all day, praying always, Lord. May we commit ourselves to be prayerful for others as well. Those who are suffering, Lord, we want to pray for South Sudan. Right now, Lord, we have the largest refugee camp in the world because of the war in Sudan. Lord, we want to pray that you help. Only you can bring peace, oh God, to those hearts that are troubled, that are worrying, that are fighting over earthly wealth, that are angry against one another, that are revenging. Lord, may you heal them. Lord, we pray that you provide for those refugees, oh God. To pray for those who are persecuted here and all over the world, that you shield them, that you protect them, that you comfort them, that you reveal yourself to them, oh God. May you strengthen them, oh God. May you give them courage and hope. Lord, we want to pray for enemies, those who are looking, trapping, digging pits for us, trapping us, oh God. May you save them, oh God. May we be good to them, oh God. May we show them who you are. Lord, it's very easy for us to revenge or to be full of hatred and anger and bitterness against them. But Lord, you said we should overcome evil with good. It's difficult, it's hard. But Lord, you can change our hearts and transform us to do exactly that, because you did that. And we can do it through you. Lord, when they attack, Lord, when we get trapped, well, we know for sure that you are a shield. Even when you allow those lions to eat us up, we'll be more than alive in glory. So may you continue giving us courage and hope as we live in dangerous ground, oh Lord, all day. In Jesus' name I pray.